Blog Talk Radio.
Azunke pare legbahe, azunke, azunke pare legbahe, pare legbahe, mais l'argent cassé washo, azunke, valé le pare vodou legbahe,
azunke pare legbahe,
azunke.
Reiteration and my reality.
and it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, teaching, my walk, and my works along this divine life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, can make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavor, understanding that I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is, Ashe, Ashe, and Ashe. Today is Wednesday, high noon. You are tuned in and plugged in to the Power Lunch. And I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live and in archive, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince in the legendary, historic, and beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist, hoodoo, Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick and the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, and minerals. And do join me tonight here on Blog Talk Radio, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time, and each and every Wednesday evening here on Blog Talk Radio for the Divine Prince Live and an archive from New Orleans. And tonight I will be sharing a practical guide to the wisdom teachings of ancient Egypt. And I will introduce this teaching today during the Power Lunch as the opening of the way. And also join me on Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time for 1 hour of hoodoo secrets and recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, each and every day at high noon for the Power Lunch. Our listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you do have a question, comment, or request, please remember to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert us that there is a caller in queue, and I will address your question, comment, or request as spirit and time does allow. And I would like to welcome and thank our present callers, 484 and 678, for being with us here online, and to invite each and every one of you to call in and listen in to 347-215-8967 during our live airing shows only. And remember to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This is a virtual way of raising your hand, and it allows me to recognize you and then make an opening for you to come in to and join the conversation. My website, where I can be reached utilizing various means, virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of power and manifestation, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And please do recognize the many other qualified ministers, spiritualists, psychics, and practitioners who have been well vetted and can be located in my various virtual temple groups, beginning in the center of the first page of my website, www.houseofthedivineprince.com. where you will find my House of the Divine Prince King group. We are true friends, divine intervention, divine joy and prosperity, divine love and relationships, divine manifestation, divine revelation, and guiding voice of divination. And we are always accepting new practitioners, readers, and advisors into these groups. So please look for the convenient Join This Group link located on the lower right-hand side of each page. And remember to visit these powerful voices in my virtual temple rooms and my Queen's Chamber and the King's Chamber, respectively. Papa Say, who airs here on Blog Talk Radio, can be found in the King's Chamber. And, of course, the truth terrorist, the Queen Ifama, and our very special priestess, Gogo Nadilata Omare, who has just returned from an exciting trip to Africa. And she's talking about that on her most recent podcast or archived show. So please do stop by and visit these powerful voices in the King's Chamber and the Queen's Chamber, respectively, at your convenience. They are available virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year via their Blog Talk Radio archived players. And you can locate more information for my co-hosts, guests, and honorable mentions, respectively, on their Blog Talk Radio profiles. And, of course, my website where I can be reached, utilizing various means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of hoodoo wisdom and understanding. It's www.houseofthedivineprince.com, where I specialize in doing battle, difficult and blocked situations of every type in endeavor, and I specialize in resolve. We will be forward momentarily with the astrological weather of the day. Of course, our affirmation and meditation. And I will entertain any callers who may have their hands raised as we return and move forward in our show. So I will be forward momentarily. I am humbled by each and every one of you taking the time out of your day and your lunch to join us here for the Power Lunch, the Oracle, Divine Peace and Blessings, Queen B1, Divine Wisdom and Understanding, Fire Witch, Divine Revelation and Manifestation, Kalahat, Divine Joy and Prosperity, and of course all our special guests and those of you who are already listening and enjoying with us on the phone lines, 678 and 484, Divine Peace and Blessings, Joy and Prosperity. I will be forward momentarily with the opening of the way, a practical guide to the wisdom teachings of ancient Egypt by Isha Schwaller and Lubes. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Ashe.
Afutai, bila bila, nda fashi kwe shida.
Non, non, mauvais tato, marele, non, non, mauvais tato.
Pitano!
Mama,
mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama, mama,
you inspire others to also change and align. So be powerful, be divine, be magnificent. This is who you are. Mirror and reflect back unto us the divine light and spark of your most true, authentic, and perfected self. It exists right now in this time and moment with you, within you, and around you. You need only acknowledge it. Free yourself from the limiting constraints of earth law and physicality, and just for a moment, remember your perfect light body and consciousness. You do have creative allowance to recreate and create the life, the environment, the existence you need to thrive, to grow, to be happy, and to move forward. You do have that power to create and recreate. Understand that I create and recreate my divine destiny. And I am because my creators are. I am without beginning or ending. I am eternal. I am free to experience life in any way that I choose. All things work together for my ultimate spiritual evolution and manifestation. My consciousness is not bound by time, space, or place, or what you think or do or say. And like the universe itself, I am limitless. I am powerful. I'm a part of a vast and unified wholeness. I am free from all concerns about the past. I'm free from all concerns about the future. My life is in divine order, and it unfolds according to a perfect and divine plan. I do not strive to attain the things that you desire. I do not strive to attain the things that I think that I may desire. I simply allow the divine creators to flow them to me and through me and for me. And I release my grip, as false as it is, on life. And I am calm in the knowledge that all my needs are divinely taken care of. I am open to all of life's experiences. As the moments of my life come and go, I am at peace. I am tranquil. I am divine serenity. I do not judge these moments. I welcome them. I observe. I accept. And when problems arise, and they do, I remain calm. I do not resist them. I have an open mind, heart, and spirit, for I know that they will be resolved and answers provided in divine timing. And I have all the time in the world, for I am time. I am limitless. I am eternal, for my creators are time, limitless, and eternal. And in the quiet spaces between my thoughts, they speak and come to me, and all things become crystal clear. My life transforms in divine, magical, and unexpected ways, and obstacles that once seemed insurmountable and impassable now seem smaller and insignificant. I rise effortlessly above all challenges to a place of divine serenity, tranquility, and knowing. My path forward is becoming clearer and clearer, like clear quartz, clear, refined, colorful, vibrant, and focused. And every day in every way, my life becomes more and more harmonious. I trust in the natural flow of spirit. I resist nothing. I yearn for nothing. I gratefully receive all that comes my way. My consciousness is not bound by time, space, or place. And like the universe itself, like divinity itself, like the divine creators, I am divinely created. I am limitless. I am a part of a vast, unified wholeness. I am in divine balance, divine timing, divine completion. I will be forward momentarily. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Ashe. Divine peace and blessings and alafia. Today is Wednesday, December 8th, 2010, and we are sharing a Sagittarian lunation with the moon now in its new phase in Capricorn. And, of course, the sun in Sagittarius. And for more detail about that specific alignment, please do go back and enjoy the archive of yesterday's Power Lunch. But today, as we move forward, the early hours today look more promising than those coming later on. And here's why. The moon in Capricorn unites with the largest asteroid, Ceres. Every time this happens, with 13 engagements in a general calendar year, your productivity quotient can skyrocket. Twiddling your thumbs right now and letting a wave of laziness take over you is not an option, especially as it relates to spiritual matter. You also may want to review your dietary and nutritional needs at this time, particularly during this encroaching and approaching celebratory holiday season. Mother-daughter relationships are also right now in a spotlight, and this includes those of you who are the daughter of a deity or a Lawa. For those who are not familiar, if you are crowned under a female deity, you are considered the daughter of that deity, and vice versa for the male deity. Now, there is some variation to that, but generally, in many paths of ATR, that is the rule. So please pay close attention right now to mother-daughter relationships and vibration. And just a few hours later, Venus will make a supportive 6-degree liaison with Pluto. Passions are ignited and need to find a healthy and harmonious interpersonal channel for expression. This Venus-Pluto tie can also boost your creative artistry, reassess your optimistic temperament in concert with a constructive 60-degree link from the moon in Capricorn to Jupiter in Pisces. Inspirations are flying fast this evening, and the moon contacts Uranus via a 60-degree tie. This is particularly the case in connection with computer work and high-tech interest, which will all be affected as we move forward, primarily after the show and the remaining hours of the day. However, this moon-Uranus interaction starts a six-hour lunar uncertainty where the moon will go into what's called a void of course, beginning almost 5 minutes after the beginning of tonight's show, U.S. Central Standard Time, here on Block Talk Radio. So be aware and pay close attention to that. And don't make any big decisions when the moon is in limbo of this nature, particularly at the end of Capricorn. Once the moon enters Aquarius, which will be about, about 1:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, my time here in New Orleans, group projects and community affairs will reappear at center stage at that point as we move forward. So, again, this is our astrological forecast. I try to pay a little bit more attention to it than what I see available online and in various internet, radio programming, because I think we often, in this modernized society where we have a lot of computers and things and professionals doing a lot of this checking, we have sort of lost contact and connection with this link to the cosmos, which is truly a mapping, a book, if you will, of past, present, and future movement of all things in the galaxy. And that's why astrology has become such a pivotal part of our subculture, of our religious and philosophical and spiritual communities worldwide. And in my opinion, it's probably more enduring than ink and paper even some forms of stonework, but many of the predictions and history and archaeology that has the most endearing power and the most scientific validity is often the mapping of an association with earth events and the astrological weather or atmosphere, as it were. And our stone for the day I want to talk about is ruby. And ruby is representative of life force. Ruby is a hexagonal, cylinder-type shaped crystal, ranging in colors from pale pink to a deep blood red. So it has a very different map, if you were, than your average quartz configuration. So it's clearly a piece that you want to, when you are able to, include into your family of tools, and that is the ruby. Ruby is one of the fabled precious stones of history. In biblical traditions, it has been long thought that ruby was one of these stones in the high priest Aaron's magical breastplate. And I'm going to do a whole show in the coming weeks on Aaron and the breastplate, which I think is one of the most profound archaeological, if you want to consider it that, and cultural representations we have of the power of crystal and stone and mineral and their usages, but often very much overlooked. We talk about a lot of things in the Bible, but you don't hear, if any, conversation, understanding, teaching, or even a sense that people get what was really going on with the rod of Moses and the breastplate of Aaron. So look for that in coming shows. In the Lord of the Rings trilogy, J.R.R. Tolkien paid close attention to and appears to have an understanding of Anima in the ring Nara and its usages and the way he presented it in the movies and in the book, suggested a deeper understanding of the quantum metaphysical and magical properties of the stone. This was the ring worn by Gandalf the Wizard and one of the three rings of power that remained unblemished by the Dark Lord's evil, the Stone of Adamant. For centuries, rubies have been valued for their magical applications and as symbols of love and virility. The true power of rubies lies in its ability to stimulate life force energies. It initiates the kundalini, or sacred force, which resides at the base of the spine within the first chakra. And its energy opens and clears the first chakra, stimulating the flow of energy from the earth up through to the crown chakra. I also want to note that ruby is what gives lasers, that red glowing light of the laser, its power and its ability. Science has mastered that usage of the ruby for that purpose. And in case you didn't know, that's where the laser beam comes from ruby, light being consciously focused and refocused through generally now a chemically scientific lab produced ruby, so that it has fewer imperfections, as it were. When properly initiated and harnessed, these powerful forces can be used in the manifestation of spiritual light, the creation of matter, and in the healing of physical, mental, and the spiritual self. It is a stone that bridges the element of earth and fire, vibrating with the grounding properties of the earth and the transformative properties of fire. It has long been prized by magicians and spiritualists who use the life force energies to work magic. Often, when we feel run down or overtired, we have developed a block in our energy system that does not allow the life force energy to rise in our bodies. This creates the feeling of being drained disassociated, or even depressed, calling upon Ruby as an ally to aid in the raising of the life force allows you to open and clear your blockages, replenish your energy, and reconnect with the life force in all things. When one is balanced, Ruby can be called upon to initiate the rise of the sacred Kundalini serpent, Dambala, i.e. Wado, in Pudu, the center post, the cosmic deity. The rising of the Kundalini is a powerful spiritual experience that clears the chakras and initiates communion with sacred light. Again, it helps to connect the grounding energy of Earth as it moves through our body with the more higher air and cosmic energy of consciousness and spirit. Ruby has the capacity to also stimulate sexual desire and energy, as it is the first chakra stone, and also to raise the vibration of excess sexual energy, harnessing it so that it can be used for a more spiritual purpose or end. Excuse me. Ruby speaks of the need to experience the first chakra's primal and potent energy. Practice breathing in through the base of your spine, drawing a cord of energy, silver or gold, up through your body and out the crown of your head. Connect with the elements of earth and fire, encouraging their energies to rise through you and transform any blockages you may be holding. The appearance of Ruby can also signal a time of reconnecting with the forces of ritual and magic. When the energies of your first chakra are open and flowing, your store of usable energy is vast and limitless. By channeling this energy into current situations or projects or areas of the body, you can create magical, powerful healing transformations in your life. Be aware of how you are applying this energy, however. Using it to manipulate or attach to others will backfire. Draw your energy upward and extend it outward from your highest chakra so that it can be directed by the higher mind. Ruby vibrates with the first chakra, so indeed it has a stagnant manifestation as well as a higher evolved manifestation. The idea is to want to draw that energy from the first into the first chakra, but then up into the higher centers of the body, not just into the first chakra and leave it there. The affirmation associated with Ruby can be, I allow the life force within me to rise and strengthen mind, body, and spirit. I also want to quickly, we have about 15 minutes left, introduce our material for tonight here on the Divine Prince Live and an archive on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time. And on many occasions, people always ask, what do I read? What affected me? How did I get this disposition? How did I get to this place? And I often tell them that it comes from all over, not just one path, book, teacher. So I try and share that as I move along. Today I will be sharing The Opening of the Way, The Opening of the Way, a practical guide to the wisdom teachings of ancient Egypt. And I believe I read this book, I want to say in the late 80s, maybe in the early 90s. It has a 1979 copyright on it. So I was still a rather young individual. We're talking over 20 years ago. I was in California at that time. And as I often did, I would go into a library or bookstore, a spiritual shop, and just kind of pull a book off and see what it contained, particularly if I were drawn to it. And, of course, I was drawn to anything at that time having to do with ancient Egypt, and it had a really colorful depiction of the deity Set on the cover. And at first, I think it took me a few years before I actually read the book. I kept it, moved it from shelf to shelf, room to room. But for some reason, even though it was calling me, as crystals will call you, as people will call you, as life experience will call you, you will not necessarily always know within that moment what the real meaning is, or the real reasoning is. But be sensitive enough to yourself and to the voice of spirit to know that something is calling and to investigate. So I did get the book. I kept it around. I let it pick up dust. And finally, when I could read the book and get beyond the first paragraph, I was really taken at the language and the simplicity of the book in trying to really impart what all that, and I say all that, the symbolism, the language of ancient Egypt, the religion, all the mystery behind it. It's so complicated in many ways. And this book was so simple that I just couldn't get it at first. I just didn't get the book. It seemed really foreign to anything Egyptian to me at first. So I just didn't get it. But when I finally did read, it had a profound effect on me, really reorganizing how I viewed my personal spirituality and my personal walk and path. Just to give you an idea of some of the things the book talks about, freedom of individual search, the great question, the human constitution, soul, and consciousness, the way of the heart, knowledge, foundation, sexual problem as it relates to our spiritual evolution. And it even talks about the seven obstacles, the seven accomplishments, reincarnation and karma, the masters, the elite, peace, joy. It even gives a short understanding, I guess, from the perspective of the author and the book about the Christ, and I believe the author was trying to show a similarity there between that ultimate mission and I think what was being taught and gathered at the time in ancient Egypt. So we have about 10 minutes. I don't have a lot of time. I just want to kind of introduce it. I'll go into more detail tonight. But there, here in chapter 4, it's called Soul and Consciousness. Our habitual inexactitude in the perfunctory use of such words as soul and consciousness has meant that by now they really mean very little to those who use, read, or hear them, soul and consciousness. And the guy uses a lot of really colorful and, you know, extraordinary words. And that, too, I think at that time in my life threw me off of really getting the meat. So give yourself a chance to really get beyond the package of the book and really latch on to what is being expressed. And to go on, a new age will need a renewed language, if only in the sense of restoring the original spirit, the living word, to words which have lost their meaning by too much repetition. And that, just that one paragraph, I think, mirrors the conversation the brother and I had yesterday about the role of affirmation and meditation in dealing with the real stuff, the real grit. And two, we talked about language, particularly as it pertains to education. I think our society has one focus, our quote-unquote educational systems, even our religious systems, have a already well-established agenda, as it were. And often getting to the true spirit of anything is lower in the priority of getting across whatever that agenda is. We see it in religion. We see it in politics. We see it in favoritism. We see it in Hollywood. We see it on jobs. There's a very superficial commingling and overusage of many words, love, success, prosperity, without really giving it any real structure. How do you attain that? What is that? What does that mean? What does that really feel like? And how do I move towards any, you know, said goal? So this book, The Opening of the Way, A Guide to the Practical Teachers of Ancient Egypt, was really profound for me, and I would pray that it would be for others too, in helping to kind of bring just some order to all the information, because we got a lot of information out there, a lot of prophets, a lot of books, a lot of teaching and preaching, but very little real application and practical usage of any of this knowledge to where it makes sense and we can immediately apply it and move forward. And as I said before, it's almost a human thing to want to oversimplify and bring some sense of understanding to a world that, if you really stood back, is really racing at a very fast pace. A lot of things are going on all at once. Everything is in constant flux. And it's human nature to want to slow everything down, I think, to just make it palatable. But in so doing, we tend to oversimplify, overuse, as this author has said, some of these words, and we really become detached from its true meaning, its true understanding. And it shows up in our ultimate manifestation and in what often little it takes to bring our authentic belief system to the surface, to really prove where we really are. It's not a judgment, it's just a human thing. I'm always amazed at the number of people that I would think are more prepared, ministers, spiritualists, Baba Laos, Orisa priests, who come to me for whatever reason, whatever the issue is, but that issue has managed to really break them down and take them back into their flesh, into their carnal state, into their more weakened, vulnerable, I'm just a pawn in this earth system to something, you know, greater than myself type positioning. When truly we have far more control of far more things than we consider, than we give credit for. Just to use a metaphor, when we look at voting or political participation, there are far more people with a soapbox than there are with those who are really doing something different, that are really working to make a change, to make a difference. And if we go into our temples, our synagogues, our mosques, these buildings of philosophy, religion, spirituality, we will too again see a similar paradigm where we are digesting books and names and titles and all this information. But when it comes down to actualization, to realization, to getting results, and dealing with the storms, we really get to see where we truly, truly are. To use another metaphor, we often look at celebrities and the wealthy and the rich as having something easier than, until the scandal comes, until they end up on the front paper. And then we often want to go to the polar opposite and see them as probably worse than, and give them a greater sense of responsibility than we even give to ourselves. in the same predicament. Infidelity, having children out of wedlock, adultery, whatever the issue, we tend to want to collectively force a higher standard on everyone outside of ourselves. And we do this culturally. We do this in the media. We do this in our temples. We do this in our private conversations. Girl, did you hear about so-and-so? And we can really rake people over the coals. Now, again, I'm not in judgment of that if we are truly living up to that standard for ourselves. And in many cases, we don't. When we talk about ourselves, we want mercy. We want forgiveness. We want flexibility. We want people to understand. And in my last minute or so, kind of bring a closing, I guess what I'm trying to say is, in all things, we must be true and authentic. I ask continually that Divine Spirit would bring me into union with myself, with itself, with all of creation. For we are one body, one spirit, one person. I ask that the obstacles that keep me from the experience of divine presence and my own divine presence be removed and eliminated. Let me clearly perceive light and the voice, the vibration, and the guidance of spirit. Walk me into the mystery. Replace my fear with faith, knowing and understanding. Give me the capacity to abide the mysteries put along my path. I give up the need to know why things happen as they do. I surrender my will, my divine will, to a higher divine will. I ask that I always feel the presence of spirit and not be taken by distractions, false voices, and illusions, conceptions. And I ask that all my blocks be removed, even me. And I ask that spirit would forever be present in what I do, what I say, what I impart in each and every moment, in each and every day. And I ask that you would join me here again on tomorrow at high noon for the power lunch, and of course here tonight, 7 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time for the Divine Prince, live in and archived from the beautiful, historic, and legendary New Orleans, Louisiana. I bid you divine peace and love, joy, and prosperity. Ashe.
Get what's mine. Now I know all that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving consciously through. So someday I'll find somewhere I can be free. Over me.
Thank you.